the first I heard of it was when I was awakened at 6 a.m. By a phone call, which I thought was a wrong number. The recording was that one of our members, Jonathan Barbagallo, was calling saying that the club had burned down and that to come as soon as possible because the police wanted to talk to me. My mind was spinning, racing, trying to imagine what had happened, how it had happened, why it had happened. When I got to the top of the hill, I couldn't believe what I saw, which was a smoldering mess of rubble and bent steel and sparks going off. It was quite a dramatic scene and a very sad scene.
How soon after the fire did you or somebody say, we've got to rebuild this?
It's funny, I've been thinking about that, and I don't think we ever had to say it. It was an understood kind of feeling among not only the members or my board, but more importantly, in the community. Immediately, when I went home, I had emails in my inbox that were, how can I send money? You have to do this. You will rebuild, I'm sure. I mean, the whole attitude towards our plight was so positive in terms of that the Curling Club must go on.
What did the Curling Club do between the fire and the reopening this weekend?
We quickly drafted a letter because people were starting to send money and wanting to send money. We drafted a letter. We put a page on the website. We opened a PayPal account. We opened a special bank account called Rebuilding Fund. And we put instructions on the website of, if you want to support, do this. So that first step kind of started the process of thinking it through, thinking about what needed to be done. And then we put the word out to the membership that this is what we were going to do. Came up with a building committee, a finance committee, and asked for people to sign up. So that whole organization at the beginning seemed to kind of take a little time to figure out what to do next.
You know, when you think about curling, I mean, obviously you think of Canada. How did curling come to Norfolk, and what does curling mean for the town and for the area around here?
Well, the story goes, founding members, Elizabeth Childs, was from Utica, and she curled there with her father. And when she married Ted Childs and moved to Norfolk, she made it her goal to establish curling in the town. And in the old days, when you look back at old minutes of meetings, a lot of the people in town did curl. And I moved to the area in the 90s, and the more people I met in town, once I got involved in the club and I would talk about curling, they'd say, oh yes, I used to do that. So I determined that anybody who lived in town more than 20 years at one point curled.
Are you excited about this new chapter?
Absolutely. I think that the beginning of the chapter is tragic and sad. But it's also, I also identified the moment as an opportunity for us to be a better club, to fulfill our mission more successfully than we have in the past. We're a nonprofit, and our mission is to teach the Olympic sport of curling. We have had so much focus on the club and what our mission is and what our activities are that we can build on this. We can be more... we can have more outreach. We hope to have more visitors to the club. We hope to develop our programs, our youth programs, our junior programs, and hope that the community will enjoy this building and enjoy curling and being a part of our efforts here.
Well, Mary, it's a beautiful facility, and thanks for spending some time with me. I know you got a lot of things going on today.
Yeah, I've got a lot, odds and ends, things still have to be done to the building. We're still setting it up and getting organized for our big grand opening weekend. But it was a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you.